I want to jump into the Word today and teach for a few moments, because the reality is we are still here. We're still in this situation. We feel things loosening up. We definitely sense some changes. We're hearing a change in the news and some of what our state and local community, our response to this pandemic, and you're going to be seeing in just the next couple of weeks, the next few weeks at the very longest outside possibility, we'll be seeing some in-person gathering again. Make sure you stay tuned to our social channels and your emails so that we can keep you up to date with all of that information. But while we're still here, I want you to know that you are doing better than you think you're doing. What do you mean by that? How do you know? Because I feel like I'm losing my mind. That's exactly what I want you to believe about yourself today. You are a better spouse than you believe yourself to be. You're a better parent than you believe yourself to be. You're a better homemaker than you believe yourself to be. The reality is this challenge, this pandemic that we're going through, it has everyone off step. It just has us a bit off kilter. And the devil loves to use that off step feeling to shake our confidence. That's why I have felt it important to speak to your faith, to communicate to your spirit, and to help you believe again, to rehearse the word in your life. I hope you've carved out time, whether it's after this live stream, when you have your family gathered around, or you have your Bible open on your lap. I hope you'll take time to rehearse the word, to tell stories, tell your kids stories, maybe from when you were a child, when you saw things happen because of faith, because of prayer, because of someone's expectancy. You saw good things happen. Revelation 12:1 says that they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. Every single one of us are going to have a testimony coming out of this situation, coming out of this crazy season. All of us have a testimony. And if we will stand strong in the Word of God, if we will allow our faith to be built and strengthened in this season, then I promise you that we are going to be better from it, and we are going to be stronger coming out of it. So today I want you to see yourself in this old story. I love going back to the Gospels whenever I'm feeling kind of blah, or when my faith feels like it needs a tune-up. I love to revisit the Gospels and just dive into these old stories, gospel stories, where Jesus is moving among the people and making a difference in their lives. And I just kind of role play, if you'll indulge me a moment. I like to see myself on the side of the road watching all of this unfold, and something about putting myself there allows me to feel what they're feeling. It allows me to experience what they are experiencing, and ultimately to receive what it is that they are receiving. But I want to talk to you today about the problem and the promise at the pool. There was a problem and there was a promise at the pool. John chapter 5, beginning at verse number 2, John is telling us there is in Jerusalem by the sheep gate a pool, which is called in Hebrew Bethesda, having five porches. So John is detailed in his writing. He's detailed in his descriptions of what this looks like, and I very much appreciate that. But here is this pool, and built all around this pool are these porches. The reason there were five porches is because one porch was not enough. I assume that they added on and built extra porches because there were so many people that were in need. There were so many people that needed the miracle that this pool was able to provide them. It was happening in Bethsaida, and Bethsaida means house of mercy. House of mercy. Isn't that interesting? I hope the house you're in right now is a house of mercy. Maybe you need a reset where mercy comes in. Maybe your house, you need to be a patient house, and you need to be a loving house, and hopefully you can be a forgiving house, but be a house of mercy. And verse 3 says that in these, so on these porches lay a great multitude of sick people, blind, lame, paralyzed, all of them with one thing in common. They were waiting for the moving of the water. Can I tell you today that whatever it is you're feeling, whatever emotion you're in right now, whether you woke up today and felt despair or felt like, man, this is never going to end, this is never going to change, this is going to be hard forever, or whether you woke up today with a little bit of optimism and you got good sleep last night and you're feeling some positive energy flowing today, no matter where you are, whatever you're feeling, whatever you're dealing with, whatever you're fretting over, I want you to know today that you are not alone. Whether it was the lame person or the blind person or the deaf person, whoever it was that had gathered themselves around this pool, they were not by themselves, and you are not by yourself. I mean, look around you. Everyone, your neighbors, folk down the street, people on the other side of town, people in a neighboring state. I mean, everyone is going through the same thing. This is a global pandemic. Everyone across the globe is in a quarantine situation. This is the great equalizer. It has us all in the same situation at the same time. No, we don't like the situation that we are in, but it's at least comforting that me or my family are not the only ones going through this right now, but everyone is dealing with the same thing. But here's where this story gets interesting to me. Verse 4 says that an angel went down at a certain time into the pool and stirred the water. He goes down at a certain time. We see timing in this miracle, because sometimes miracles are complex, and sometimes it feels like Jesus takes too long in our situations. But the miracle didn't come until a certain time and at a certain season. The angel coming tells us that only God could do this. It's not the talent of man that can stir the water. It's not the ability of a musician that can stir the water. It's not a government action. It's not a program that can stir the water. Only God can stir the water. And there's plenty of curiosity here. There's plenty to wonder about here. But I'm on record as saying I do not believe that God caused this pandemic. As I said a couple of Sundays ago, our world looks exactly like the choices that we have made. And so much of what is happening is a result of man's response and how man lives his life and the choices that man makes. But here is an absolute fact. The waters of our world are troubled right now. They're troubled. people are stirred up. People are affected. People are moved by this situation. There's some old-fashioned reverence. There's some old-fashioned conviction that is stirred up to say, hey, I don't know exactly what's happening. I don't have all of the answers, but I want to be right with God. And that's why I say, while God may not have caused this virus, he absolutely will get the glory from this situation, because verse 4 goes on to tell us that whoever stepped in first after the stirring of the water was made well of whatever disease he had. That tells me this is a miracle that is based on desire. Whomever wanted this so desperately, whomever didn't care what others thought, whoever stepped first, I mean, there's probably some elbow jockeying. There's probably some shoving going on. It's probably not the kindest of scenes that's happening around this pool. But whoever has the greatest desire, that's who's going to get the miracle. I don't have any explanation as to why it was only one person or why it was only the first person. That doesn't really seem fair. I'm glad that whoever desires God today, you're not in a race with anyone. You don't have to push anyone out of the way. You don't have to put your kids in a headlock today to make sure that you are the first to respond. I'm glad that's not the case today, that if you want a miracle, you absolutely can have a miracle in your life today, and you don't have to hurt anyone in the process. But I want you to see the problem today. Verse 5 begins to detail the problem around the pool. It says, a certain man was there who had an infirmity 38 years. 38 years. I don't know about you, but March and April 2020 have felt like 38 years. The last couple of months have felt like a really, really long time. It's years worth of the same problem. And can I tell you today that years worth of the same problem will convince you that nothing will ever change? I'm not even talking about 38 years. Maybe you've carried something 38 years. Maybe something happened to you when you were a child and you felt a pain, or you felt a nagging, or you felt some hesitation since you were a child. You've carried that into adulthood. Or maybe something's been bothering you for the last 38 days. But regardless of how long it is, sometimes when we feel something for so long, when we carry something for so long, when we limp our way through life for so long, it convinces us that things will never change. And can I tell you this morning that that's exactly where the devil wants you? That's exactly what he wants you to feel. He wants you to feel like things will never get better in your life. For some of you, you were dealing with this well before a stay-at-home order, or before a quarantine, or before a work-from-home sentence. Some of you were feeling this well before that. This pandemic, this last number of weeks has only exploited that. It's only brought it to the surface. It's only made it that much more noticeable, because you can't really escape it. You can't get away. You have to face what it is that you are dealing with. And I would imagine if I were to ask you today, how many of you feel like or expect things to stay the same? There's probably some heads nodding, because you just don't have hope that anything is going to change. But look at verse 6. The Bible said that when Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had already been in that condition a long time, when Jesus saw him lying there. Honestly, I could preach that phrase for the rest of the time that we have remaining today. When Jesus saw him, for some reason that gives me so much hope. I want that to give you hope today. When Jesus saw him, when Jesus recognized, when Jesus knew, when Jesus was aware of where he was, can I tell you today that Jesus knows where you are? He knows exactly what you are feeling. I believe I'm preaching to lonely people today. I believe I'm preaching to hurting people today. I believe I'm preaching to broken people today. Quarantine has only amplified what was already wrong. But Jesus knew how long it had been. Of course he knows how long you've been going through this. He has the hairs of your head numbered. He has your tears bottled up. He knows exactly where you are. But I'm going to tell you what will get you out of your situation. Because he asked the man who's been in quarantine for 38 years. He asked the man who's been in this bad condition for so long. He asked him this question. He said, "Do you want to be made well? Do you want things to change in your life? Are you ready for things to turn in your life? Are you ready for things to shift in your life? Do you want to be made well?" Because it all boils down to this right here. Your miracle, my miracle, your breakthrough, my breakthrough. It all comes down to this one question. Do we want it? Are we ready for things to change in our lives? Here's the question I have. Does this man even know what well is? Is he emotionally healthy enough to know what it is to be well? Sometimes we almost become institutionalized. People that have been incarcerated for a long time, they lose sight and vision and the ability to live in freedom because they've become so institutionalized to their prison. That's a real thing for people in real life. But let me ask you, emotionally, have we become institutionalized in our emotional dysfunction? Have we become institutionalized in our spiritual dysfunction? If living this way for so long, do we even know what well looks like or feels like? How do we know what it is that we need? I know it's a strong question. It may be too strong for online church today, but I dare you to process that in your life. And verse 7 says, the sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up." It's not even a matter of whether or not I want this. It's not a matter of whether or not I want things to change in my life. It's not a matter of whether or not I want things to shift or I want things to change. I don't have any help. I don't have any help. I don't have anyone who can assist me, who can prop me up, who I can depend on. I don't have anyone in my corner. I'm looking around for help, but I can't find any. I wonder if anyone knows how hard this is. I've never felt so alone. I've never felt so broken. I've never felt so lonely. And then he says this, "But while I am coming," another steps down, Jesus heard what the man said. Wait a minute, stop, sir, stop. I know you're busy telling me about all of the deficiency in your life and all of the things that you don't have and all of the people that have left you and all of those that you thought you could depend on and thought you could trust and thought you would be there for you. I hear you listing out all of the people that let you down, but I heard you say something that is going to make the difference in your life. You said, "While I am coming." While I'm coming. That means you're making an effort. That means you're trying. That means you are reaching. That means you are wanting this. And if I see you trying, and if I see you reaching, and if I see you wanting this, then you know what? I know the answer to my question. Do you want to be made well? The answer is absolutely you do. You do, because I see you getting up every day and making the effort and striving and reaching and wanting things to change. So I told you what the problem at the pool was. Let me tell you what the promise at the pool is. Jesus said to him in verse number 8, "Rise, take up your bed and walk." Rise, get up from where you are. Stand up from that place of brokenness, that place of pain, that place of problems. Stand up, take up your bed and walk. I told you last week, your situation is whatever Jesus says it is. You remember they came and told Jairus, your daughter's dead. Don't trouble the master anymore. And Jesus said, hey, I got this. Your little girl is not dead. She's only asleep. So while someone may have defined you as the paralyzed man of 38 years, I say your situation is whatever I say it is. That means we can break the rules. We can bypass pools, because if God gets ready to do it in your life, he doesn't need anyone's permission, doesn't need anyone's approval, doesn't need anyone to sign off on it. He just does what he wants to do in your life. And verse 9 said that immediately. I like words like immediately. I like words like suddenly. I like words like now. I like words like today. Immediately the man was made well, took up his bed, and walked. Are you hearing me today? A man who's been paralyzed 38 years picks up his bed and starts walking, just like it was nothing. That's how awesome God is. He can change the last 38 years of your life, the last 38 months of your life, the last 38 days of your life. He can do incredible things with the last 38 minutes of your life. Get up, take up your bed, and walk. I want you to know today that the waters are stirred. The waters are stirred, and they are ready for your miracle. Sometimes we sing a song around here that I love that just says, there is freedom in the name, healing in the name, there is power in the name, salvation in the name, there is life in the name. There is no other name but Jesus. Jesus. Sing it with me. There is freedom in the name, healing in the name, there is power in the name, salvation in the name. There is life in the name. There is no other name but Jesus. Jesus, we call on your name today. Friends that are watching, family that's watching, people that are watching right now, they are people around the pool. People who are broken, people who are hurting, the people who are lonely, the people who are feeling the pressure of life right now. I speak your miracle grace into their situation right now. I pray your Spirit would breathe into their homes right now, that they would feel the supernatural wind blowing fresh, cool, strong in their homes right now, and that their lives would never be the same because of it. I pray for people who need to give their hearts to you right now, people that need to say yes to you right now, people who need to surrender everything. If that's you watching, if you need to pray that, I want you to pray with me. Say, Jesus, I ask you to forgive me today. I ask you to change my life today. I ask you to clean my heart, my mind, everything. I repent of my sin today. I ask you to save me. Come and to live in my heart. You died so that I could live. And I'm so grateful that I've got an opportunity to live my best life. I pray it in Jesus' name today. And if you prayed that today, I want you to know that something just happened in your life. Something just turned in your life. You really believe that, Pastor Darrell? 100% from the top of my head to the sole of my feet. But you know what? We want to partner with you. We want to come alongside of you. We want to help you. If you just said yes, if you just prayed that with me today, I want you to be bold enough to type the word follow in the comment. Just the word follow, F-O-L-L-O-W, follow. Type follow. Don't be ashamed or embarrassed. If you need to inbox us, do that. And we'll happily send you a virtual copy of this book called Following Jesus. It's a book about next steps. It just kind of tells you what to do now that you've prayed that prayer. I promise it will be a great resource for your life. We love you. We thank God for you. And we cannot wait to see you have an amazing week.